A little bit off the daf, more so I think than some of the other things that we've done, but a good halacha l'maisa topic that I wanted to discuss, and I think important to be aware of. So take the time to talk about it. So the Gemara, one of the proofs the Gemara is trying to bring about putting selling a Sefer Torah for an old Sefer Torah to use the money to buy a new Sefer Torah, as we discussed in Shir on Friday at length about that issue. But this is a question about one of the rayas, potentially, is what we can place on top of each other. So the Gemara suggests that maybe the fact that you can put a Sefer Torah on top of the Sefer Torah, so that indicates that you could sell a Sefer Torah for another Sefer Torah, because they seem to be, we're okay. You don't have to, what are you looking for, Zevi? Okay. We don't have to boost up, we don't have to move up. We can kind of, we're good with being at an even parallel level. And the Gemara ends up rejecting and saying Hanacha is different. The Gemara says, Hanacha kamris, shiny Hanacha, delo efshar. Hanacha, what are you going to do? You can't, let's say you had 10 Sifrei Torah, or just to use our more common example, you had 10 Chumashim, you can't put them on top of each other, you have to scatter them around, so that would be impossible, and therefore, obviously, that we can't stop that. So it's not necessarily going to be a riot in terms of selling, you could have not sell the Sefer Torah, just keep the old Sefer Torah. So we can't prove one way or the other. But Derech Agav, I'd like to discuss this issue of what can we place on top of each other. So the one Ha'ara that the Ran points out here, that the Gemara discusses Sefer Torah, Chumash in the Lashon of the Gemara is a scroll of one of the five books, Bereishis, Moses, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, lower level than Sefer Torah, and Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which the Ran points out that Nevi'im and Ksuvim here are grouped together, and there doesn't seem to be any preference of putting Ksuvim on top of Nevi'im on top of Ksuvim, Dafka. They're an equal footing. Now the Rishonim, the Ran here, and Rishonim in Tosafot Bava Basra point out that the Gemara Bava Basra says you're allowed to make a madbik. What's the lashon of the Gemara? Madbik adam Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. You're allowed to make a massive Tanakh scroll. I have yet to come across one of these in my life, but you are allowed to make a massive Tanakh scroll. So that seems to present an issue, because if you roll around the massive Tanakh, so the Chumash part is going to end up being on top of the the Nevi'im might end up being top of the Chumash. So who saw the answer to the Rishonim? So I wasn't fully clear what the Ram was trying to say, but he definitely was trying to say that the way you set up this Tanakh scroll is, the middle thing threw me off, because I thought he was just saying that you have Torah. And
I think what he was saying is that if you make sure the Nach is all rolled to the beginning and the Torah is rolled to somewhere, meaning the opening place will be somewhere in the middle of the Torah, inherently all the Torah parts are either on the right time or on top of the Nach in the other right time.
Right. So basically you can never open up Nach.
Right.
But he said something about the Emsa. What was the middle?
Yeah. Anywhere the Torah is rolled somewhere in the middle of the Torah.
Anywhere in the Torah you're good.
There's any left.
Right, okay, fine.
Top of the Nach.
All right, that's what I thought he was saying. So that you're right. So somehow you're never going to open up the Nach unless you open up the whole thing wide, like the Purim. On Purim we roll out the whole Midrash. It seems to be strange. That's somehow the Ran answers. But Tosos gives what I think is a little bit more of a fundamental answer, and that's Tosos in Bava Basra says that's not such a good nai. If you have one big scroll and you're rolling, and it happens to be some of the words of Chumash are going on top of the words of Nach, that's not a ganai to the Nevi'im. You take a Navi, in YU we have in Gruas also, for those in Shrag, right? We have the Haftarahs, and they have the Nevi'im. So really not so, there's not so much Kedusha to those Nevi'im. We don't really treat them like a Sefer Torah. So you're going to put that on top of the Sefer Torah? That's a ganai. But in one big scroll, no one would see that as a ganai. That's what Tosos says in Babas. Yes. Hold on, we're getting there. Good. Very good. Hold that thought. Tanakh Tav Chumash. Hold that thought a second. One second. So what Tosa seems to be saying, the yisod of this halacha is, it's a gnai. Things that are not an appropriate way to act towards these svarim is what the consideration is going to be. Okay, so let's get what did I say, Sam, before I take
reports? Is there no kedusha to those? Is there any different kedusha between those scrolls, or the written on the top, I guess?
Ah, good. We're going there. Did you see the Aruch HaShulchan this morning?
Yeah.
You did see the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, good. So you should know where we're headed.
What are you talking about?
All right, let's see. So the, before we get into Avery's issue, just the Rimagash, one of the early Rishonim, the Rimagash, who was kind of indirectly a Rebbe of the Rambam's father's Rebbe, the Rimagash, and the Rimagash has a tshuva where he says that basically all of Torah Shebaal Peh doesn't have kedusha like Sivrei Tanakh. He says, you know, even if you had it, you actually wrote it on a scroll, but we know from Gemara's, I don't know if we mentioned it, we saw it yet in this parak of Megillah, but the Gemara's talk about how the Svarim of Tanakh are Matame Seyadayim, they make your hands impure, like the Gemara says in Shabbos. So there's a certain higher level of Kedusha of Sivrei Tanakh. All other Svarim, Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishnayos, Gemara's, Mefarshim, all that is not going to have the Kedusha of the Svarim in that regard. And therefore, you shouldn't put any of those, says the Rimagash, on top of Sefer Torah Chumash or Nevi'im Ksuv. Presumably, Pashas, that once you get past Torah Shebichsav, everything should be on the same level. I saw quoted Shem Rav Yoshev. It's a hider to not put Gemara on top of Mishnayos and Rishonim on top of Gemara and Achronim on top of Rishonim. But it's not Maker Adin, it's just a hider that he had. It seems to be most assumed that everything else should be even. Yes?
Gemara's half.
Oh, good, good. So Gemara's have sukkah. So I saw the Shiloh discussed by a sitter. What should be the status of a sitter? Now, the tefilos, Shmon Esrei is fundamentally Torah Shebaal Peh. It's on Shiknas Agdol. They put it together. On the other hand, Shema, sukkah to Zimra, is filled with sukkah. The ladies in the back. What if there's a Tehillim in it? So what should it be? So a little bit of a discussion in the postgame. And then that's where Rav Ephraim Greenblatt has a tshuva. Rav Ephraim has a tshuva about Avery's question about what about putting a Tanakh on top of Chumash, Chumash on top of Tanakh, because there's in a Tanakh there's Nevi'im Ksuvim, and the Chumash is just Chumash, and if you have the Tanakh on top of Chumash, so you're going to have Nevi'im Ksuvim on top of Chumash, so maybe that's a problem. So what seems to be the majority opinion at the end of the day goes back really to this Tosfos and Bava Basra. It didn't hit me the first time I went through these Makoros, but when I saw Tosfos and Bava Basra, how do you look at a sitter? Do we look at a sitter fundamentally as a chumash, as a navi, as Torah Shebichsav? A sitter is a sitter. It's tfilos. Okay, it happens to be quoting Pesukim, but fundamentally, it's Torah Shebaal Peh kind of book, and therefore we're not. That's how we treat it. It has Pesukim in it, doesn't make a difference. In a similar way, Tanakh, kind of the Torah part of it, really carries the day. This is Torah. It happens to be there's the Nevi'im Ksuvim also, but that's not going to be a gnai. So it seems to be similar to what Tosfos Bava Basra said about the scroll of Tanakh. It's not a gnai. It's not you took like that, we said, like the scroll of Yeshaya, and you put it on top of the Sefer Torah. It's one, when it's one big thing, it kind of, the ikar of what it is, in people's view, kind of carries the day. And therefore, it wouldn't be a gnai, it would be mutter. There's a bit of discussion in the poskim, maybe, the sitter that has a whole section of Tehillah, maybe that should go on top of a different sitter. But the Pashas Advarim should be that we kind of go with, we follow with the ikar of what it is. And therefore, again, so far we have Chumash on top of Nevi'im, Ksuvim, and then all that on top of Torah Shebaal Peh, and all of Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, all those other svarim being kind of an equal footing.
We're still in the realm of, like, say, Kodesh and not, like...
Hold off. We're getting there soon. Before we get to Adam's question, one more point back to the Gemara's discussion. And we may move out of that in a second. But that's the discussion raised by the Taz in Siman Reish Pei Beis Yardea. If you're looking for a good limud, you got a half hour night, go through Simon Reish Pei Beis, all back Dusha Svarim. has a lot of the halachas there, and some things that we should be careful about how we treat svarim. We spoke for the guys who weren't here on Friday. We mentioned that the mefarshim on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos talk about being mechabed the Torah. So we understand there's a mitzvah to be mechabed Torah, mechabed tamid chachamim, because of the Torah that they learned. So there's certainly an inyan min haTorah to be mechabed Torah, and the mefarshim there include in that svarim. It's part of that whole idea of being mechabed Torah, how we treat it. So it's a big inyan. Rav Emetzel, I was telling some of the guys, Rav Emetzel was very machbed on a lot of these, all these halachos. He's very careful how he treats the svarim, and not only would he. One time there was someone came in to ask for tzedakah. So if you've seen how Rav Emetzel and Hakotel sits on the left side against the window. So I was like three rows in front of him, like two rows in front of him, and like I was talking to someone and learning. So like someone sitting in the chair, I was sitting like facing him, and someone came to ask for money. So I took, you know, one of those is change things you have to carry around in Israel because all the coins. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So I had one of those little things, and I took it out to like get my shekel to give her, and I put it down on top of the saver for a second, and he got up from his seat, and he said, you know, called out to me that I should take it down. So he's very mocked. Sometimes in the middle of the sikha, he would interrupt when a classic yeshiva move, you know, you have your makom all set up all fancy, and then you put the pens on top of the saver, so he would stop his sikha to have people take off their pens, and beyond, yeah, well, I don't know what that is over there on top of the svarim. Okay, so but we may have makom hakom, we'll come back to this. So, but and also he would, not even that, he would, I would see him at the kotel and I'd daven shacharis and he would rearrange, like he would, like I would actually, this, I didn't see this brought down, but he would turn around the svarim so they would face forward. Like they, you know, the sitter is backwards on the bima, he would turn around so it would face forward. It's a kavod of svarim, and the way you act towards the svarim, it affects how you feel about svarim and how you feel about Torah. So I would recommend being machmir on this, but let's go through and try to understand some of the dinim, how that applies. So the discussion. So yeah. Anyway, in Siman Reish Pei Beis has some of the halachos, including the halacha is very relevant to camp, that the Shulchan Aruch writes that you shouldn't sit on the same bench as a sefer. So if you have a sefer sitting on the bench, it happens I see all the time in the pavilion, the beach pavilion, when people dive in and say svarim. So one should be careful about that. Yes. Also, yeah. They don't have Shem Hashem. I don't know that Shem Hashem, what Shem Hashem helps you for is there's an instrument at Torah, there's an instrument at Torah to erase Shem Hashem. So if you don't write Shem Hashem, you avoid that Isser. But at the end of the day, in terms of this halacha, leaving aside what we might say is cool a little later on, Pashas is not. Made of a limud zchus for those who are makel on these issues, but the bottom line is that you still have to treat them with kavod. You can't throw them into the garbage, and you still have to have all these halachas of svarim apply to all these things. Even though they're on the same Hashem. Not sure that it's so subjective. I think it may or may not have full kedusha svarim, but I think it's more objective, objectively defined. Yes. Not sure that's appropriate, unless you tie now, like we spoke about with talking to some of the guys. We spoke briefly about like tashmisha kedusha, like the. I don't even know if it helps so much. Tashmisha Kedusha, we say you can make a Tanai. So you can make a Tanai that even though we said like the Shulchan, that cloth on top of the Shulchan should only be used for a Sefer Torah, but you can make a Tanai that you'll use it to, as a Shtender, you can lean your Svarim on there. But to use a Sefer as a fan doesn't sound like such a good idea. It's a good horror. I remember in camp, when I was a camper, it was like a good big thing to like squash a bug, you know, as a some kind of fly, you can chop it in your sitter. I don't know if people do that. That's what I remember. That was like, oh yeah, we got that one. That's okay. That's dead on a few fronts. Not only the covered svarim, we're not supposed to be excited. There's a discussion. You know, are you allowed to kill bugs? So Rosh Hashanah pashtas, you could kill bugs if it's annoying. You could kill the bug, not a problem. But But I'm not to get a geschmack at a klin bug besides Ktushas Svarim. But anyway, so what other issues are there? So the Taz there raises the question of basically using a sefer as a shtender. So this happens sometimes. We're learning. Okay, shouldn't really look around too much. I don't want to pick on people, but sometimes it happens where, you know, I'm sitting here and I want to learn Shnai Mikra. So I have this Rambam over here. So I'll bring the Rambam over and I'll step as a shtender like this, so I can get a nice angle. So is that mutter? So the Taz says that should be a big problem. The Taz says, he quotes in middle, he quotes Siv Zayin. If anyone got to see the Taz inside, so if you looked up, Siv Zayin is talking about where the Taz says, let's say you have a sefer open in your lap. You're learning in your lap. Can you rest your elbows on the sefer? So he says, you shouldn't do that. A Shulchan Aruch writes, you shouldn't lean your elbows on the sefer. But the Taz writes, this is even worse, because not really my example. Let's say I walked over, I didn't have a sefer in front of me. I walked to the shelf in my house, took down a sefer, and set it up on my table as a shtender. Says the Taz, that's disaster, that's terrible. That's using a sefer. What a gnai to the sefer. You're using the sefer like a wooden shtender. So that's a real gnai to the sefer. So the Taz says you can't do that. So this is important to be aware of, possibly. But however, this Taz raises an issue that the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Shabbos when it's trying to describe the halachas of Ohel. Very complicated halachas in Hilchos Shabbos. When it's boning, when you make some kind of tent-like structure where you create some kind of roof with an airspace underneath. So the example the Shulchan Aruch gives is making a little stack of Svarim. So it sounds like you're allowed to stack up Svarim. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, it's talking about, oh well, and the Shulchan Aruch's example is, you could put one safer here, another safer on top, that's not considered an Ohel. How are you allowed to do it in the first place? So the Taz answers, no, it's where they're all open already, you're learning all the Svarim, so it's just telling you, by the way, if you use them all and you put them in this way that it's making a little bit of a tent, that's not a problem of Ohel. So, but it has to be where you're learning all the Svarim. To use it as a shtender, that's no good. But if you saw the Mishnah Berurah that I sent you to, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham and the Chai Adam, who are makel on the Shaila. So why should we makel? Didn't we say you're using the Sefer? What's the reason to be makel? By the way, people ask me, it was Alex Hurt, was Medayik, was Alex? Yeah, Alex was Medayik in the title. I wrote, Be'inyan Isser L'Haniach Sefer Torah Agave Chumash. It's an Isser to put a Sefer Torah on a Chumash. I made a mistake. So the truth is, I totally made a mistake. It's really Be'inyan Isser L'Haniach Chumash Agave Sefer Torah. But I realized this morning as we were talking in out, I could salvage my title, because Pashas, this should be Usser, even if it means putting a Sefer Torah on top of a Chumash. Because the issue here is not that you're putting one thing of lower kedusha on top of a higher kedusha. The issur is the lashon of the Taz is you're using it like a piece of wood or like a rock. You're taking it as a shtender. So even if I take a chumash or I took a gemara and put my chumash on top of the gemara, that's still a gnai to use the gemara in that way. It's not a gnai because I put one on top of the other, but it's a gnai because I use it as a shtender. That's not the way you use svarim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, so why would it be okay? It's shot in the Mishnah Berurah that it's okay. Said. What? The Taz sounds pretty convincing. So good. So I can't remember now where I saw it. Maybe in the Deer Shoe they brought it down. I didn't see the Deer Shoe, or maybe the Skechubas brought it down. I don't know exactly who brought this down. But someone brings down that the pshat is that in reality, anything that's being used towards learning can't be called a gnai. So if I'm setting up a shtender because it's going to help me learn, again, assuming I'm not putting the wrong thing on top of each other, that's objectively a problem. But here's a little bit of subjectivity comes in when I'm helping myself learn. So even though I'm using a sefer, that's not such a gnai. So maybe Daniel, if you're in the middle of benching and it's really hot, Maybe that would be okay. So in that context, yes, Jack. What? So So according to the Mishmur, you can. The Taz would seemingly have a problem, unless the Taz maybe would say if it's already there, it's okay. Maybe Taz Dafka means to go get it off the shelf. But things would circle even. So that's why the poskim say, you know, let's say like have your pen. You shouldn't put a pen on the Gemara, like we said. But let's say you're in the middle of learning and like You drop your, you want to put your pen down for a second because you want to be ready, you know, you're not going to put your pen away. You want to be ready to write a note when next time you have a note, so you can leave the pen inside the Gemara. But otherwise, it shouldn't be left there. Or they, you know, to lean on the Gemara, we said before, you shouldn't lean on the Gemara, you shouldn't lean on Svarim. But let's say you're, like Jack's writing notes right there, so it's easy. No, you're doing good. It would be very hard to write notes like this and not lean on the Gemara at all. So in order to enhance the learning, no, you're good. You're doing well, Jack. In order, no, you could write on top of the Gemara. I was with the Renev until someone asked him the Shaila. So he said, can you put your paper? He said, if your paper has no Divrei Torah on it, so you can't put your paper there. But if your paper, you're writing on your paper, so then you can have your paper on top of the Gemara. So that's the general approach in the postgame. There's a Sefer, actually first heard Rabbi Ari Leibowitz mention it in one of his Temen Halacha Shirim about the Sefer Ginzei HaKodesh, and I found it on Hebrew Books. Hebrews.org. Check out that website if you haven't seen it yet. So I just have tons of swarms that I downloaded, and I actually, why you got printed out, I don't have it printed out here, but I didn't bring it with me to camp. But in the Sefer Ginzei HaKodesh, he goes through different halachos of kavod svarim, and he brings this discussion down. And in that context, he says, let's say someone falls asleep on his Gemara. So he says, so you shouldn't actively fall asleep on the Gemara. But let's say you were learning, you're going, and some people, this doesn't happen to me, but some people, like, they mamish, they fall asleep, like, as they're learning, like not controlled. Like, I sometimes take base naps, but I consciously decide I'm going to take a base nap now. But some people just mamish, just, like, pass out on the Gemara. So he says, it's not such a bizayon, because it's not like they use the Gemara as a pillow. Well, right, they're in the middle of learning, so that, they fell onto the Gemara. So it's not such a problem, but to use, like, actively, consciously use the Gemara as a pillow to lean on, that would seem to be a problem. Yeah.
I assume the halacha of anyone taking the Gemara out of the Gemara applies in this case, right? Like, even if I had a chumash right here, if I'm enhancing my learning of
yeah, that's I would assume that as well. That's I mentioned that quickly under my breath before, but yeah, I think that would be the case. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan I sent to you, going back to what Sam was bringing up in terms of what we put things on top of. So basically, it would come out our hierarchy should be Chumash, then to be Ksuvim. As far as our printed Sfarim go, obviously Sefer Torah is also would apply, but Chumash. And Vim Ksuvim, and then all the other Svarim that we have. And that's how I was always brought up, and I was taught that at some young age, and I think I was talking to my mother about it. Someone like random I was talking about, like, yeah, of course, that's what we were taught at a young age. But you see some people are not so machbid on this. Sometimes you do see people that will just, yeah, the Chumash will leave it underneath the other Sefer, and not a big deal. So is there any limud zchus for that? So the Aruch HaShulchan, I gave here on the Mar Makomos, the Aruch HaShulchan basically explains that within printed Svarim, it's an even playing field. And the whole halach of the Gemara was a Kedushas Sefer Torah, or Kedushas Chumash, which has Kedusha, just not quite the same degree as Sefer Torah, or Kedusha of Nevi'im and Ksuvim, also have some Kedusha, not the same degree, but it's in those instances where we have this halacha. But when it comes to printed Svarim, the playing field is even, and it's not a problem to put a printed Gemara on top of a printed Chumash, because a printed Chumash has no Mila over anything else. So, and now I saw it brought down, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought the Minog was not like the Aruch HaShulchan, but Rabbi Willig told me that I think he quoted Rav Soloveitchik, that someone told me Rav Soloveitchik held this way, and he asked Rabbi Willig, they held that that like the Aruch HaShulchan, that it's as a halacha, the kavod, extra kavod necessary for chumash and neviim is not just because of Torah Shabbat, but it's because of the kedusha that it has. I would have said, yeah, no, it's Torah Shabbat. That's a certain Dvar Hashem. They need to have a certain level of respect. But no, the Aruch HaShulchan understands that it comes from the kedusha shibbo. Now, does this mean to go as far as you can put a davar shalchol? You can put your glasses down, which I've seen people do. You can put your recorder, whatever that is, down. Or you could put your pen down when you're done with Seder and leave. There's a stack of pens on one of the Sfarim here. I was back and forth what to do on Shabbos. I think I even used a cereal box. I don't know. Something. I found something that was not muksa to try to knock it off with that. I think that was mutter. So so are you allowed to do that? So the Aruch HaShulchan, it's pretty clear, as reading with some of the guys pointed out, I forgot who pointed out, maybe Daniel pointed out this morning, but the Aruch HaShulchan seems pretty clear that it's not pshat that a printed sefer, now there are some who say that printed svarim don't have kedusha at all. They totally don't have any kedusha. It's a davar shel chol, you don't have none of the halachas apply of svarim, you know, going back to what we were saying before, you know, these facts. What? That it doesn't have kedusha, you don't have to treat it like a sefer. No, like printed by a printer in a printing, you know, printing press. What? No, only handwritten like scrolls of the old days. Shem Hashem printed. Interesting. I think maybe they say it doesn't have kedusha. Shem. I'm not sure. No, because it doesn't have. Maybe I think with kedusha shem they also hold it. I may ask you with kavana. So there's no kavana. There's no kedusha at all. But the Aruch HaShulchan does not seem to be saying that. And the Mishnah Berurah, I sent you the Mishnah Berurah here in the Maror Makomos. The Mishnah Berurah talks about there's an Isser to have Tashbish Amita, to have relations in front of Svarim. That's what Gemara talks about. And the Mishnah Berurah there points out, so I'm at Tefillin, which certainly has Kedusha. And the Mishnah Berurah there points out that this halacha would apply to all other Svarim as well. They'd have to be removed from the room or double covered. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes, even things that are printed. So the Mishnah Berurah clearly assumes. What? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Like that Tashmita couldn't have the room like Megillah Sasser.
But that's Svarim, that's Svarim of Kedusha Svarim.
That's not Svarim, that's not printed Sefer.
That's true, but the assumption is printed Svarim also have Kedusha.
What?
You're saying Megillah Sasser. Okay. But Megillah Sasser is Kisei HaKodesh, it has Kedusha, it has certain halachos. Of being.
Right, I was saying like a printed book, we're saying we're putting it on the same level of Kedusha in terms of that.
In terms, not the same level of Kedusha like we said before. You certainly wouldn't be able to put this on top of a scroll of Megillah Esther, but as far as does it have any Kedusha, it's not shot that these printed things don't have any Kedusha at all, they still have Kedusha, just not quite to the same degree. So that would seem to be the pashas, the steamers that most of the postkin just. Most just assume, of course, you can't put a davar shel chol on top of all svarim. There is one sefer, the Piskei Tshuvos quotes of Maharsh Shag, who suggests maybe we can rely on the fact that svarim don't have kedusha bizman hazeh when they're printed, but maybe also he says maybe you'd have a kula just derech harai, like it happened, you know, not that you. Set its place on top of sefer. It just happens to be for a second. Leave it there would be okay. But the pashas of dvarim is certainly be machbid on a davar shel chol. We may the Aruch HaShulchan is certainly a strong basis to rely on not to be so careful about chumashim and other svarim. But as far as davar shel chol, certainly we should be machbid. Yes, it's all the same. It all we assume it has kedusha of svarim. Printing press is also machine made. Yeah.
Where do we draw the line of what is your like is, you know, the Archival series
or going to the bathroom is another example. You take these things into the bathroom. So I think the general assumption is think is divrei Torah. I think as divrei Torah we're machbed on tree with kavod. There are all these details get into, you know, putting it to shameless. What do you have to, you know, throw them in the garbage? Jastro has a lot of quotes, but yeah.
It's possible that maybe the Shabura, like the Rai part of the Shabura, being Cholik or Shulchan from the
Gemma Pasha. No, I'm not saying he's Cholik on the Aruch HaShulchan. Yeah. I'm saying he's just don't think that in the Aruch HaShulchan, he's just, they're addressing a different issue.
Right, no, that's how, yeah, I was going to say that. Because, like, you can't say that, just because he talked about how there's no issues tonight, the Aruch HaShulchan talked about there's no issues tonight by, like, the first, like,
right,
a copy.
Right.
Right, and then therefore, and the
Mizrura
is holding.
No. It's not holding. It's correct. It's just all he's saying is that all I was trying to say is that, and I think even the Aruch HaShulchan agree to this. It's not pshat. The reason he said you could put a Gemara on top of print of Chumash is not because all things have no kedusha, and that's why it's all even. It's just that there is no special kedusha to a Chumash anymore when it's printed. Yes, Evie.
What about Torah text on electronic devices?
So generally, electronic devices are not considered ksiva. But that being said, I saw a discussion recently about your computer screen. If it has a Torah, it shouldn't be brought into the bathroom.
For example, if you have a Torah open on your phone, can you put that on top of a Gemara?
That would probably be similar to like the Tanakh discussion, where it's a phone. It's not like a sefer. It happens to have an image of Torah there. To bring it to the bathroom, though, would be maybe a bit of a bizarre. I forgot where I saw that. Someone wanted to say that. You have like your, something open and you go into the bathroom, so that might be a bit of a problem. All right, let's stop here. We can continue with questions after. I wanted to just. Not really this year. Something to.